Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cremery. A condominium developer in Juneau announced this week that it would sell units at market prices. That's not unusual, but it surprised many Juneau residents because the developer borrowed money from the city's Affordable Housing Fund. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
Last summer, a sign by a construction site on Glacier Highway advertised a development called Ridgeview, with apartments for rent coming in fall of 2023. For Juneau resident Carissa Armstrong, it was a glimmer of hope for more rental options in Alaska's capital city.
I make enough money to be able to kind of afford your standard two-bedroom in Juneau, but there's just nothing available.
By winter, the apartments for rent text on the sign was covered up. An email sent to those who signed up for the Ridgeview waitlist said the new units would be available for purchase at market price. On Monday, Ridgeview announced online that one-bedroom units would start at $375,000. Two-bedroom units would start at $495,000. Those prices surprised many Juneau residents because Ridgeview's developer is borrowing $1.2 million from the Juneau Affordable Housing Fund. Assemblymember Alicia Huskandes chairs the Lands, Housing, and Economic Development Committee. She says she's heard from Juneau residents who are upset about Ridgeview's prices.
I definitely heard from people who are just like, this is from a loan from the Affordable Housing Fund, emphasizing that to me, and then saying, so you think, you know, a two-bedroom condo for $500,000 is affordable? And I don't.
But she still thinks loaning the money was the right decision.
I think having something built that otherwise would not be built is good. And so, I mean, yes. And also it being a loan. If I gave a grant and that was, and those were the prices and it was condos, no, I would not feel that way. But it's a loan and there's that many more units in Juneau. So I do see that as the right move.
The city invites developers, nonprofits, and tribal governments to apply for grants and loans from the Affordable Housing Fund each year. Now, the Assembly is considering terms and conditions they'd like to set for future loans. On Monday, City Manager Katie Kester presented a potential list. Many of them are already in the program's guidelines, like the minimum number of affordable units for-profit developers have to include. Others are more specific, like requiring units to be rentals or prohibiting short-term rentals.
There are pros and cons to adhering to these guidelines. And of course, the Assembly can still do whatever the Assembly wants whenever it wants. I mean, obviously within charter and law guidelines.
But Kester said this is a chance for the Assembly to more clearly set expectations for themselves, potential applicants, and the public. She said they're considering a fundamental question.
Is the Assembly okay awarding funds through the Affordable Housing Fund if there's no affordability component?
Rooftop Properties, the developer behind Ridgeview, applied for a loan from the Affordable Housing Fund to help build 24 units. The Assembly approved an ordinance that said 5 units would be for people earning up to 80% of the area median income. But a few months later, former city manager Rory Watt suggested the Assembly remove the affordability requirement. He said the developer wanted 25 years to pay off the loan if it required 5 affordable units.
That is a long time to tie up $1.2 million for that many units.
Instead, Watt suggested a shorter-term loan for a market-rate project. Former Assemblymember Carol Treem said adding any units could help lower the overall cost of housing in Juneau.
Our aim is on affordability, and one way we do that is through this directed requirement of having a certain number of units be reserved for a certain level of income. But another way we do that is just adding any housing unit.
Member Wahal Gadok Barbara Blake opposed removing the affordable housing requirement.
To me, that is not what the intent of the Affordable Housing Fund is for. So I'm going to be a no vote on this.
She was the only Assembly member to vote against moving the revised ordinance forward. The Assembly passed it in May without objection. When asked via email about the decision to sell the condos rather than rent them out, developer Garrett Johnson replied that condos provided the most flexibility. He said the condos' owners could rent them out in the future. Hugh Scandi says every Affordable Housing Fund grant or loan helps the city refine the process.
And I would like us to make sure that funds that are in the Affordable Housing Fund are resulting in an affordability requirement.
The two latest projects recommended for funding are set for public hearing on Monday night. Both propose a monthly rent of $1,400 for some or all of their units. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Juneau's Amalga Distillery is a semifinalist for the 2024 James Beard Awards category of Outstanding Bar. It's their first nomination, but not the first business in Juneau to be recognized for the prestigious culinary award. The environment of Amalga's taproom is a focus for co-owner Mara Selenek.
So when you come into our space, it's distinctively like not a traditional bar feel. We really wanted it to be like open and airy and light and welcoming.
She says she and the staff create an environment where people can enjoy and learn what they can do with the alcohol that Amalga makes. Like, for example, their on-tap gin and tonics. At first, Selenek couldn't believe her distillery had been nominated. She and her co-founder slash husband found out through a friend.
We woke up and had an Instagram message from a friend saying, "Congratulations, James Beard!" And it was shocking. We had to double check. We're like, is it a joke?
Selenek says that even getting this far is a big enough deal for her.
It was not even like on our radar as something that was even possible for us.
The bar category includes any establishment that serves beverages, including breweries, distilleries, and even coffee shops. The category is for consistent excellence in what they serve and also outstanding atmosphere, hospitality, and operations, and businesses that contribute positively to their broader communities. A block away, Bo Schooler, the chef owner of In Boca al Lupo, is rolling bagels in their kitchen. The restaurant has been named semifinalist 7 times and secured a nomination last year. He says the process is still a bit of a mystery to him.
They take like an open call for nominations through just like the industry, or like anyone can go and fill out an online form. And then they kind of narrow it down from there to their list. And then people come out and judge that list, and that narrows you down to the nominees, and then they come and judge again. But I don't know who, what, or when, or how.
He says he thinks that the recognition is helpful for restaurants in larger cities, but here he isn't sure it makes a big difference.
As far as locals go, we've had a lot of support from the local community, so it doesn't really change that in their eyes for us.
Schooler says for him, what makes In Boca al Lupo worthy of recognition is the staff.
Kind of wish it wasn't my name on it and was just the restaurants.
And Selenek has the same theory about Amalga. She says the tap room wouldn't be what it is without the staff. The James Beard nominees will be announced in April. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krimery. The number of syphilis cases in Alaska has increased dramatically over the past 6 years. The state now has one of the highest rates of sexually transmitted infection in the country. So the state's Department of Health recommends that all sexually active adults get tested for syphilis. Dr. Liz Olson is a physician with the state's Division of Public Health.
We've seen syphilis go from being very rare in Alaska to unfortunately being much more common now. So syphilis is a sexually transmitted infection, and so sexually active people, especially people with new partners, are at risk.
Cases jumped from about 20 in 2016 to over 400 in 2022. Olson recommends Alaskans get tested each time they have a new sexual partner, and every 3 to 6 months if they have multiple sexual partners. Olson says testing is important because many people don't have symptoms early in their infection. And even without those symptoms, they can pass syphilis to their sexual partners. Later on, Olson says symptoms will become more severe.
Syphilis doesn't usually go away. It usually stays in the body, and then it can cause worse symptoms later down the road. Problems with the brain, people can lose eyesight or have hearing problems. Problems with nerves. Some people can even develop heart problems or balance problems or memory problems.
Olson says if syphilis is caught early, treatment requires just one shot of penicillin. She says it's also important for pregnant women to get tested and treated if they have syphilis. If syphilis is passed on to an unborn baby, it can cause stillbirth or lifelong health complications. Alaskans can get tested for syphilis by their primary care doctor. And Olson says even uninsured people can get free or low-cost testing at their nearest public health center. And as for the weather here in Juneau, there is a winter weather advisory in effect from tomorrow morning until the evening. You're listening to KTOO.